the portion of Scripture that we read there in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And let's unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming to Thee afresh in our Saviour's name. We are glad as we seek Thy face that we have a God who's in heaven and we reverence Thee. We don't come to Thee in any offhand manner. We don't come to Thee because, Lord, we always bow in prayer before we come to Thee preaching of Thy Word. We don't, Lord, never let us come out of formality. But our God, we come for we need Thee. We need Thee afresh today. We ask that Thou must anoint us with power as we preach Thy Word. Thou dost know all about the circumstances that we face and the sore throat that we have and all these things. And we pray that Thou must overrule and undertake for us. Bless and be with us as we gather at Thy feet. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text is in verse 14 of the portion of Scripture that we read there earlier in the meeting. And it's the opening words of the verse. If ye will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice. On this occasion that we've read of here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, we have the account of the children of Israel gathered together on that great occasion when, with joy and thanksgiving, they were proclaiming and celebrating their great victory over the Ammonites. They had been called to Gilgal to confirm Saul as their king now. And the occasion before us really can be taken as the equivalent of a coronation. Saul, by this time, had already been made king, an anointed king on a previous occasion. But really, this was the occasion when they confirmed him as king and crowned him, if you would like, as king. Now, you can imagine that this was a scene then of great celebration. They had just had a great victory, and by the victory, Saul had proved his credentials in many ways. Here he was now at the height of popularity, and as far as the people were concerned, they were there now to honour him and to crown him as their king. And no doubt it was an occasion of great celebration, great anticipation indeed, as the people looked forward to the reign of this man that had given them a great victory. And they were looking forward, no doubt, to days of great blessing. They were hoping that the man who had just led them into the great victory against the Ammonites might be able to lead their country into greater blessings and greater victories in the future. Now, it is just while they were in this, as it were, self-congratulatory mode that the prophet Samuel stands up to bring a message from the Lord. Before Samuel now was the great and august assembly of the people of Israel. They had gathered now to Gilgal. And Samuel wasn't going to miss the opportunity when all these people were gathered together to bring them the message of God. And he starts off by, as it were, vindicating his own name. He says, I stand before you this day, and I'm before the Lord. And he said, have I defrauded any of you? Have I stolen from any of you? He says, I'm old now, and I'm gray-headed. I've had plenty of experience, and you've had plenty of opportunity to get to know me. And he says, have you ever found me to be wanting? Have you ever found me to do that which is not right? And the people had to come and say, no, we have never found you to steal anything from us. We have never found you to defraud us in any way. You have been a man with a good testimony. And I think that Samuel here is making this point not out of self-motivation. He's not doing it to aggrandize himself or to get plaudits for himself, but he wants to get them to realize that the message that he's going to bring is a message from God. He wanted them to listen to what he had to say. He is underlining the importance of the message that he wants to bring. And now he has these people standing before them, and he brings a message which is accompanied by the Amen of heaven. You will read here that when he brings the word, that there was, in verse 17, a thunder and a rain in the time of wheat harvest when it was not expected. This was really a miracle that took place. There was the accompanying thunder of heaven. There was the Amen of heaven upon the message that he brought. And what was the message that he wanted them to hear? What was the message as they faced the future with the king that they had wanted and the king that they had prayed for and the king that despite everything God had given them? What was the message? Well, we read it in verse 24. He says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you." He directs them away from their king. He directs them away from the one that had been placed upon the throne. And he says to them, "Only fear the Lord." And men and women, that's a good thing for us to remember today. We can get our eyes upon the earthly. We can get our eyes upon men, and we can think that they will get us the victory, and they will lead us into days of better days, and can bring us into days of more blessing than before. But he says, "Only fear the Lord." And that's a message that needs to be underlined in this day and generation in which we live. Now, there are a number of things about that message that was brought by Samuel here that I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is the regulation for this right way. He says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him." And we see that the first and foremost thing that needs to be true of the people of God is a fear of God. A fear of God, not a fear of man. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And we should watch the fear of man. It is so easy when we come against perhaps those who have some power or influence over us, maybe our friends, our loved ones, or those who are our work colleagues in some way, to realize that they have a great influence over us. Perhaps they have powers over us in some way or another. But the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. But it says in Psalm 111 verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Remember how the Lord Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, he said, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and that after that of no more that they can do. But I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." And that's the message of Samuel. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And we see the thunder and the rain that came from heaven as a result of that. And men, women, we need to fear the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, we find it is not a slavish fear. You know, if you look in verse 20, you'll see that Samuel has another message, and Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not." Now, it seems to be a contradiction. In one verse, he is saying for them to fear. In another verse, he's saying for them to fear not. Well, in verse 20 there, it was a slavish fear. He was talking about them fearing the thunder, fearing the manifestations of the glory of God. And we think of the man in the parable of the talents. Remember how he was told to go and do something with the talents, and two of the servants gained more, but the other one hid it in the ground and did nothing with it. And when the Lord came back and asked him what he had done with the talents, he said, "Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, and I was afraid." That's a slavish fear. That's not the kind of fear that we have when we fear God. It's not a slavish fear, but it's the fear of a son. And what's the fear of a son? The fear of a son is a fear in hurting his father and doing that which will bring dishonor to his father and doing that which will in any way bring a heartache to his father. And that's the fear that we need to have today. Remember, the good illustration of it is in the days of David. And Joab, the captain of David's army, said when he saw Absalom, remember Absalom was hanging in the tree and he was dangling there. David had told the people not to kill Absalom. But Joab, the captain of David's army, said to the man who had seen Absalom in the tree, and he said, "And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle." And this is what the man said in 2 Samuel 18 and verse 12. It says, "And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son, for in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom." And this was a man who had a fear of the king. And in the same way, we should fear going against the king's word, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We think of the days of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah became governor of Judah, and he could have used his position as a means of feathering his own nest. And others were involved in extortion and in fraud. And this was pervasive amongst those who were in charge. But Nehemiah was able to say in Nehemiah 5 and verse 15, he said, "But so did not I, because of the fear of God." Men, women, we need that fear. We need to realize that there's a God in heaven. We need to see that there is a God who is looking down upon us today. A God who sees our down sitting and our uprising. A God who is grieved when we sin against Him. A God who is grieved when we go our own way. Men, women, we need to have that fear of God. And what will happen when we have a fear of God? Well, one of the things will happen is that there will be a restraint upon our sin. In Genesis 42, we're told about Joseph's brothers who had been put in prison, accused by Joseph of being spies. And no doubt they languished in that prison for a number of days, and they feared, no doubt, the retribution that was going to come upon them because they were spies. And they didn't know at that time that the one who was their judge was one who had been wronged, and they had sold him into slavery years ago. And we read how Joseph came to them and made a deal to let them free, and he set his word on as the guarantee. And in Genesis 42 and verse 18, he said, "This do and live, for I fear God." When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And Joseph there said, "I will not go against my word." Why? "Because I fear God. I fear God." And Paul exhorted the people, those who are his people, to submit to one another, to be in fellowship with one another, to stay together with one another. Why? "Because you fear God." God does not want division. God does not want us to separate one from another. That we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we need to have that fear of God upon us. It's wrong when brethren become divided. It's wrong when that takes place. And we need to remember that today. Not only will the fear of God bring a restraint upon sin, but the fear of God will bring us blessings and bring us happiness. It'll increase our blessings. The fear of God never runs contrary to our blessing and our joy and our happiness. Remember the story of the Hebrew midwives in Egypt and the time when Moses was born, And they disobeyed the command of Pharaoh to kill the male children. And in Exodus chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we read these words, "Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses." God dealt well with the midwives because they feared God. They feared God more than Pharaoh. They feared God more than man. God blessed them. And the same needs to be true in our lives. He says here, only fear God. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him. Will we do that today? Is there that fear of God in your heart? A fear of missing out with God? A fear that you have drifted away from him in some degree and measure? Well, men and women, we need the fear of God. That's the mark of revival in days gone by, when that fear of God pervaded a community in which the Spirit of God came down. Only fear God, if ye will fear the Lord. But not only do we see the regulation of the right way, but notice the requirement of the right way. He says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. Now, the great purpose for which God has redeemed us is that we might serve him. Remember what the Lord had told Moses to say to Pharaoh. When he wanted to let them go, he said, "Go unto Pharaoh and send him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me." God's purpose for each one of us is that we serve him. Are you serving him, child of God, today? What are you doing for God in your life? Well, thank God that God can take any instrument. You see it here, these children of Israel here. In many ways, they had come short. They had failed in many ways. It wasn't really right that they'd asked for a king in the first place. And yet God had given them the victory. And God had taken these weak instruments. Remember in Judges chapter 3 and verse 15, remember the story of Ehud that we did a few weeks ago. And it says that Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, says he was a left-handed man. And we said that it meant that his left hand was shut off, or there was something wrong with his left hand, and he couldn't use his right hand. But God took that man, with a weakness as it was, and God used him. And thank God it's not superior gifts that count. It's the willingness and the zeal to serve him. You know, we might be waiting for more ability. We might be waiting for more knowledge before we serve him. Even on the outreach on a Tuesday night. But what you need to do is get out there and start. That's the only way to learn. That's the only way to prove God. Get out there and start. And so we see that service is one of the things that is a requirement of the right way. Something else that is a requirement of the right way. Sincerity. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. In truth. And that speaks of sincerity. We're not to do it in a kind of a half-hearted fashion. In Joshua chapter 24, we read of the children of Israel coming out of, coming across the Jordan, as it were, and they were coming into the promised land, and they were so full of the Lord that they were going to make a promise. And in Joshua 24 and verse 22, it says, "And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And they said, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua set up a stone to commemorate it, to bear witness to them. And he says in verse 27, "And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God." You know, when we enter into commitments before God, We keep the commitments. When we do something for the Lord and when we promise to do something, we do that. We do it in truth. We do it in sincerity. We don't do it in half-heartedness or in such a way as that we will go back on it. In verse 14, we read these words, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him." Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth. And men, women, that's what we need to do today. We need to serve the Lord in truth and obey His voice. We need to obey Him. Only fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice. And He says, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. We're to do it with all our heart. We're not only to do it in sincerity, but we're to do it in solemnity. Oh, men and women, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. We need wholehearted service today. We need our hearts to be knit with Christ. And David, we think of how David said, I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. It will be a costly thing. It may well be a costly thing for us to serve the Lord with all our hearts. But He says, obey His voice. Verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Well, men, women, let not God be against us today. Let Him not be against us. Let us fear Him with all our hearts. But not only do we see the requirement of the right way, and we see some of the regulation of the right way here, but I want you to see the reason for going the right way. The text points that out for us. If you look at the text, it says that if you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord. Now you notice what he says. He says that if we will serve Him and follow Him, then he says you will continue. You will go on. And you will go on to greater things and more blessed things. And I will bless you. The Lord says, I will bless you. And we think of Samuel had reminded the people of some of the good and the great things that God had done for them. And he said, now therefore stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which He did to you and to your fathers. And the promise is here, of course, that if we do fear God and walk in His commandments, that we will have blessing. And he says, serve Him now. And He will do great things for you. He'll do great things for you. He saved you out of Egypt. He brought you into this place. He's given you all the things that you have been given. And we remember that the Lord has saved us and washed us in His own precious blood today. And the Lord has done great things for us. Many of us, if our neighbor or friend did something for us, we'd want to repay that compliment in some way. How much more do we need to repay the Lord for all that He has done for us? Job said in Job verse chapter 5 verses 8 and 9, he said, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. See, the things that God does for us, they're without number. We'll never know the half of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. We realize that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do you not owe Him something? Yes, you owe him your life. You owe him your all. The Bible says that we're to present our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, consider how great things he has done for you. And men, women, when we realize that God has done great things, we also realize that he's going to do great things in the days to come. He's going to do great things for us if we fear him, if we obey him. And today, I'm calling every child of God to obey him, to fear him, to get back to what we ought to be, to get back into that place where we serve him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Those of you that are not saved, fear him. Fear him. He is God. He's in heaven. Fear him. Fear him. You are going out to face him one day. You're going out to face him. Fear him with all your heart. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for thy precious word to our hearts today. We realize the great burden here that we fear the Lord. No matter what the circumstances may be, and no matter what else may be taking place, O God, may we fear thee with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength. We pray for those who know thee not. O God, give them that godly fear. Give them it today. Give them it now. Give them it now. O God, have mercy upon our souls. For Jesus' sake. Amen.